Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. You know, I know that mom guilt is very real, like we just talked about. And so are labels that we put on ourselves, or others put on us. I just took my kids to their well child check this week. And it was Sawyer's 4 and a half, so there I am right on game, taking him at 4 for his well child check. So I already have, like, my doctor is already judging me, right? But then, so the doctor says to Sawyer, "Sawyer, what did you have for breakfast this morning?" Sugar cereal. I had sugar cereal this morning. Well, Chase helped me get breakfast, so that's why I had sugar cereal. So I was like, oh, great. Sugar cereal. And she's like, "And so what did you drink with your cereal?" Please tell me he had milk with it or water. So thankfully he did. I didn't help him get breakfast, but I was already feeling that judgment, right? And then the doctor says to him, "Sawyer, what's your favorite thing to play with at home?" And he's sitting there and he's thinking and he says, "War. I love the game of war." And I'm like, oh my God. I know the doctor's already judging me. And then Mira, she's sitting there. She goes, "Yes, we just got a new card game called War." And I was like, oh, good. The card game. Yes, a little bit better than, you know, the guns and all the judging that comes with that, right? So this morning I want to talk to us a little bit about possibly those labels that we put on. And right then I didn't want to be judged by the doctor. Do you ever, you're there? The mamas can hear that. We all have been feeling where we don't want to be judged or have other people think different things of us, but we know that they do. And this morning I want to talk to us about what God sees and what he thinks of us. And we're going to open up God's word and see some stories in it of how that came about and how God met with 4 different women and told them a little bit of a different story than possibly what they've already heard. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning we come to you, Lord, and we just ask that you would open our hearts and open our minds to hear from your word. Lord, although this day may be hard for some or excited for some others, Lord, we pray wherever we are that you would meet us and you would show us that you are a God who loves us, you are a God who adores us, you are a God who sees us right where we are, and you meet us and you meet our needs. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, well, the first lady that I want to talk to you about this morning is a lady named Hagar. And Hagar, we can see her story in Genesis chapter 16. And I'm going to read you the story in a kind of abbreviated version because it's a little bit of a bigger story. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, so she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal. So Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarah with contempt. Then Sarah treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness and along the road of Shur. The angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarah's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I'm running away from my mistress Sarah," she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." Therefore, Hagar used another name. Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who spoke to her. She said, "You are a God who sees me." She also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" So Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named his son Ishmael. So here we see the story of this woman who has been a slave. She hasn't really had a lot of control over her life, and now she has said that she is to bear someone else's son, right? And so she's given into this opportunity. She takes it, and then things don't work out. I'm reading this story, and I kind of imagine, like, that show, The Bachelorette, Like, it kind of, like, you know, like, those women, you have, like, a house of women all fighting for the same man, and it's, like, crazy show. But I know some of you watch it, and you love it. That's okay. No judgment. None. But that's how I see, like, there's got to be some tension here, right? Here's Sarah, she can't give her husband a son, and then she's like, oh, here's this great idea, here Hagar, and she all of a sudden becomes pregnant, and Sarah's like, oh, man, that kind of hurts. And all we know that hurting people hurt people, right? And so that comes this tension between the two of them, and it's so bad that Hagar runs away. She's pregnant. She's running away in the desert, and she comes to a spring, and she is just so desperate, right? You can imagine this situation. It sounds pretty rough, right? But God sees her. God saw Hagar, a slave, in the middle of her desperation. You know, God sees us. No matter our circumstances, no matter how undervalued we may be from other people, he sees us, and he wants to speak encouragement to us in our lives. You see, there's a theme that we're going to notice this morning in Scripture, and that is that God loves his people. In Psalms 18:19, it says that he rescued me because he delighted in me. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The God of the universe that created the stars and the earth and all of its beauty, he delights in me. Sometimes that can be a hard thing to really grasp and understand, because perhaps we've put labels on our own selves that we are undervalued. And so to think that a God could adore us can sometimes be hard to grasp. But you see, God also sees our deepest needs. He sees our deepest needs. And we're going to go over to John. And we're going to meet another woman that Jesus meets face to face. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that a Jew asked for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" Because Jews and Samaritans didn't really talk to each other. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw warm water with, and this well is very deep. Where do you get living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty again." And Jesus said to her, "Sure, go call your husband and come here." Yikes. Jesus was calling her out here. The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying this, that you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you're with right now isn't even your husband." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, and he is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all these things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And so the woman let her water jar and went her way into town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all that I've ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." And so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him. And they stayed there for 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." I love this story. I love this story because here is a woman that has a dark past. She's living in the midst of sin. She's had five husbands. She's living with another man. This is not a great situation for her. And she's here and she meets Jesus face to face. And Jesus calls her out on her sin, right? But he says, but I have something more. I have something more. When you drink from my water, you will never thirst again. And this woman knew that she was talking to the Son of God. When he could tell her her story, when he quoted the scripture, she knew. She knew, and she dropped everything and ran and told everybody about this Jesus. God saw her past her sin. He saw past that moment, that present right there, and he knew what she would do. He knew that she had the strength and the power to go out and share his word and his love with everyone. That's not something that Jesus could have done. He needed her to do that. How cool is that, that he used that? Guys, we think sometimes that we are so wrapped up in our sin. We are so in our sin, so deep. It's been so many years that we've been doing what we've been doing, that there is no way that our God, this God of amazing God, would come and meet me, but he does. We don't have to come clean to him. He comes and cleans us. He comes and makes that happen. We see that again later on in John with another woman. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, as they might have seen some charge to bring against him. But Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and he said to them, "Let him who has without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. And Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No, no one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go from now on and sin no more." Talk about a compassionate God. One that got down on her level. In the midst of her brokenness, in the midst of her sin, and he met her eye to eye. He said, "I don't condemn you, but I want you to go and sin no more." That's the God I'm talking about this morning. He sees us. He looks beyond our sin. Only God can meet us at our deepest need. He is the only one that can come in and meet us when we need him. God sees our brokenness, and he sees the woman. Not only does he see the brokenness and the sin, but he sees the woman that he created you to be. He sees the man that he created you to be. He sees that person in the midst of all that may be going on, and he calls you out, and he brings you close to him. God also sees our deepest longings. We're going to read in 1 Samuel about Hannah. And the story is very personal to me. And I hugged a lot of you this morning. And I hugged some of you that are celebrating because you have your miracle inside of you. And I hugged some of you who are hurting because you don't have that miracle inside of you. Or you have a broken relationship with your mom. Or your child is wandered away from the Lord and wandered away from you. It can be so hard. But God sees your deepest need, and he wants to provide for you in those moments. 1 Samuel 1 and 2 tell us a story of Hannah. Hannah had longed for a child. And while she was in Shiloh with her husband to celebrate an annual feast, Hannah wept and cried out to the Lord in her great suffering and sorrow. She was crying so much that the priest Eli, she thought that she was drunk. But when she explained that she was praying and pouring out her need to God, he made a simple statement: "Go in peace, and may God grant your request." In that moment, Hannah's heart filled with faith, and soon she delivered a son. After so many years of longing and pleading. And then Hannah made a promise to the Lord that if he would give her a son, she would return him to the Lord to serve all the days before God. And she faithfully fulfilled her promise and gave Samuel her son to serve in Shiloh at the house of the Lord. See, God sees our deepest longings, and he wants to fulfill them. For many years, we walked the road of Hannah with longing for a child. And it was so painful. And I remember one Mother's Day, it was just, I didn't really want to be at church, but that's what you do when you're the youth pastor's wife. And so we were there, and I had gone up in the classrooms. For some reason, I was in the hallway of the classrooms, and I heard the teacher say, "Oh, here comes a mommy." And I walked by the door, and she goes, "Oh, nope, that wasn't a mommy." And of course, she didn't at all know. That was not hurtful to me. She wasn't trying to be hurtful to me. It was just her conversation with the kids. She didn't even know I overheard it. But that hurt. It was just another reminder that I wasn't a mommy. We started doing foster care, and we had a son. Our first foster son came. He was 2. His name was Dennis. And he called me that mommy. He didn't understand. You know, he was 2. He didn't understand why he was taken away from his parents and now in this new home. And so for a while, he called me that mommy. That mommy. Come here, that mommy. Before he could remember my name. You know, then eventually he remembered that my name was Amy instead of that mommy. It worked out, but I've been called, you know, we've adopted some kids, and I've been said, you know, "You're not my real mom." All those labels that we have, you know. But if also, so we have, some of you don't know our story, but we adopted 2 amazing boys, and when we had our second son came to live with us before he was adopted, like that first week that he came, we found out that we were pregnant with our son Sawyer. And so we had adoption in October and a birth in November of that year. And 6 months after Sawyer was born, I was feeling a little funky and thought, this couldn't possibly be what? Yes. And I took a pregnancy test and laughed for a very long time because I was pregnant again with our daughter, Miracle. And so quickly, God took the longings of our heart, the years of pain, and he fulfilled his promise that he would make us a mom and a dad. And now we have 4 kids, and you know, you saw the video. Some days are crazy, but it's so awesome that God gives us that. And I totally believe that in our waiting, in our deepest need, God sees that and he uses it. Because if we were able to have our babies right away, we wouldn't have been doing foster care. We had 12 foster kids through our years. We wouldn't have met them. We wouldn't have adopted Chase. We wouldn't have adopted Juan. We wouldn't have been a part of their lives. We wouldn't be praying for all of those kids now. We wouldn't have had that opportunity to share Jesus with all those kids that are in our home. If we had babies right away, we wouldn't have thought to go down that road right away. But that was God's plan all along. And so in our deepest suffering, he's there. He is a God who sees us. He sees every one of us right where we are. He sees our deepest needs. He sees our brokenness and our longings and those labels that we've put on us, like unvalued. He says adored. Those things that we say we're unloved, he says you're my beloved. Those things that we say we could never, we're so far from sin, we could never be near him. He says you are redeemed and you are forgiven and you are rescued. Because that's what the cross is about. That's what this whole book is about. Back there in Psalms when he says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. He delights in you. Despite where you are in your walk, maybe you've been faithful for so long and you just want someone to notice. He does. He notices that. Maybe you're in great despair and you feel so lonely. He's there. He is a God who sees us. If the worship team could join me. We're going to get ready to take communion here soon. And reflect on what God did for us. We just read some stories in the Bible of how God met these women where they were, despite what they were doing. And he loved them, and he spoke life into them. And that is what our God wants to do for you today. No matter where you are on your spiritual journey, maybe you haven't started it. Today can be your day. Maybe you have wandered away. Today can be your day to come back. Maybe you have been faithful for so long. Continue that faithfulness. He still has new things for you. His mercies are new every morning. He does have new life that he wants to speak into you every time. So I'm going to pray with you. And then Pastor Eric's going to come up and we're going to receive communion together as we just reflect on his love for us and that it started at the cross. Jesus, we come to you this morning and we are so grateful and thankful for your word. We're thankful that your word speaks life and truth. We're thankful that in our brokenness, you draw near. You are close to the brokenhearted. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of our sin, you come right to us. We thank you that you delight in us. You adore us. You think we're something special. And so, Lord, I pray for those in this room who are struggling to grasp that, who feel like they are nothing. I pray that today they would see that who they are in you, that you knit them together in their mother's womb, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And they are loved by the creator of this earth. Lord,